Now we're ready for a little Old Testament preaching this morning. You can answer yes or no. I mean, either way, the answer is going to be, well, you're still going to get it. So we're preaching this morning out of 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. And as I prayed over the scriptures this week, the thing that we're seeing are the acts of faith and how our response in faith leads to bigger things. I was drawn to the reading of 1 Kings that we're going to share this morning. So hear these words that God has offered to us through the scripture. 1 Kings 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it. Bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now think about this just for a minute, and how hard this would be. I mean, and just the thoughts that were going through this woman's head. The world was horrible. Famine and drought had just ravaged the land, and there was no hope. All hope had gone. The writing on the wall was there that this was the end. And she had come to that point that she said, this is it. She is preparing a last meal that she is going to share with her son. They're going to eat and drink what little they have, and they're going to die. There's no hope for tomorrow. This is it. Over with, done with. And imagine what was going through her mind as she said, this is it. My child is going to die. I'm going to die because there is nothing else that we can do. Because the world had become such a horrible place. The drought and famine had pretty much erased everything. And as we read the scripture, we see that life had become difficult. And that hope had turned into hopelessness. And we find this widow, so her husband's already gone. We find this widow gathering sticks to make this one last meal for her son, that they may die, because the hope for tomorrow had faded into distant memories. You see, the widow had accepted the things that would not get better. Sure, she still believed in the Lord, but she was being rational with the writing on the wall, the common sense approach that she could see all around her. She knew this was it. And then here comes this man into her life, this stranger into her life, and says, "Feed me." And don't you think it would have been pretty easy for her to say, "No, I'm not going to feed you. This is all that I have. I got just a little bit. I'm going to feed it to my son." But we see that she did something much different. Despite what she was experiencing in the world, she chose to do something much different. even in the midst of the tough times that she was living out, that her child was living out, we see that she chose to do something much different. And I think that we can agree that when we look at her life circumstances, what she was experiencing, that we also experience some of the same things right now. Times are tough around us. We just simply have to look. And I would say that even for a dedicated Christian, I think that at times it's pretty tough to stay that course in faith and to have that hope that tomorrow will be better. And to have that hope that our needs will be met, because sometimes it looks very hopeless around us. And I think that we are experiencing a drought and a famine as well as we look around. And that at times we find it hard to fathom how things will get any better, because there are so many writings on the wall out there tell us otherwise. But this morning, we can find hope in the Word of God that tells us just how to respond in just the same way that this widow responds. You see, we're being instructed in what it means to have faith. We're being instructed in what it means to stay the course. And instructed in what it means to have hope. In the Gospel of John chapter 8, starting in verse 31, we're reminded that if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And we see this widow in her response, even though she was in a bad place, her faith demonstrated her alliance with our Heavenly Father. Her faith led to a trust, and a trust led to a freedom. We can only be free from what bothers us in this world when we know that faith leads to truth and truth leads to freedom. We have to believe. We have to believe that God is going to cause a change. Now, it may not be in our time. It may not be in our measure of, okay, it needs to happen next week. It may be over a period of time. But when we have faith, then the truth is revealed, and in that truth, we can be free. You see, the widow this morning that we hear, she knew her Lord existed. She knew her God existed. And we see still a little bit of doubt. We see a little bit of doubt because she's a human being. We've all doubted. Perhaps we're doubting now. We've all experienced problems that have taken us to a really low place. We've all been at a point that we've had questions. Because we're human beings, we're not a perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. And as we hear the scripture this morning, we're reminded that our God is more powerful than any drought or any famine. And that through Him and through our exercise of faith with Him, that we can be set free from what we experience here. She knew her Lord, but she also had been scarred by this world and what was happening around her. She knew that the end had come and she was ready. She was okay with that. But then this guy, this prophet Elijah, popped into her life with a message. And even though she had absolutely nothing, a little bit of oil in a jar, had gone to gather some sticks and some water, and just a little bit of meal to make a couple little flour cakes. Instead of saying no, she said yes. She obeyed the request for food and water because she felt some conviction in her heart, some calling in her heart, and experienced something that said this was the right thing to do. She gave the last of what she had because it made a difference. And she could have denied Elijah, but she didn't. She could have looked after herself and her son, but she chose to obey. And then what do we see? We see some excitement because of the changes that happened. She, in a little manner, she demonstrated faith. And when she did, we saw that her needs for food and water were met. They did not die that night. They did not die that night. And her son were lifted up out of a deep valley that they were in because she said yes. She exercised her faith and she believed. Now, this woman's life was pretty tough. Do we know what happened later to her son? This is a test if anybody has read ahead.
Yeah.
Huh? He died. He was met with tragedy, illness a little bit later, and he died. But he had another encounter. We see he had an encounter later with Jesus, and Jesus raised him up from the dead. He raised him up. He touched him and said, "Get up, young man." And he got up. Because of her faith. Because of her faith, she believed big things were revealed. You see, the truth had made her free, had set her free. It had revived a hope, a relationship with the Lord. And through her obedience in these small things, her life was put on a right path, a right course. She had hope again. She had been freed from the burdens that she had been carrying around. She had been freed from those burdens. And she had experienced God in a more powerful way than she had ever experienced Him before. She had demonstrated her faith. But it's hard, I think you will agree. When times are tough, it's hard to have that level of faith. When we look into this world around us, I mean, some of you mentioned them this morning. When we look into the world around us, we see so many places that it's hard to see things getting any better. But if we have faith, when we have faith, when it's not popular to have faith, if we have faith when it's tough, if we have faith when there looks like there's no hope, then God will reveal Himself in a powerful way. And it may not be to us. It may be in the life of someone else that's changed. But God will reveal Himself. So I would ask you today to look at your life and even look at the life of others who may, in your family, your community, your workplaces, that may need the light of God to illuminate their dark areas or to lift them up out of their valleys. Are we free from our past or do we still doubt? Are we free from our past of who we were before we were Christians? Or do we still doubt? Do we still fall into those temptations at times? And here's the real question. Is there anything in your heart competing with God? Is there anything, and that's a good question to ask with others. Is there anything in the hearts of other people that might be competing with God? As we're out here making disciples, is there anything competing with God? Or is there anything that is creating doubt? You see, Jesus Christ wants to live in our hearts. He doesn't want to come for a visit. He wants to live in our hearts. He wants complete ownership of our hearts. And are we ready to let our hearts be that dwelling place? Are we ready to sign over the title to our hearts? Are we ready to give Him complete and total ownership of our hearts? And to let that excitement live in us? Brothers and sisters, the only way for that to happen is for us to have that faith. And to believe in that faith, a childlike faith. This morning something happened to me, and then Kim also shared a few weeks ago with me something that had happened. This morning I had two kids come up to me in church that have been visiting with their family, and they were so excited. They got new Bibles. And they wanted to show those Bibles to me. They wanted me to see those Bibles that had been bought and had their names in them, and it was their Bible. And Kim shared about a kid at school that is proudly carrying his Bible around. And you said it was a big Bible. It wasn't one of the little Bibles. He's carrying two Bibles now.
Mr. Leno got him a new translation.
And so he is proud to show off his Bibles. When's the last time we had excitement over our Bibles? When's the last time that we showed somebody our Bible? When's the last time that we tried to make sure our Bible was visible and not hidden so nobody would have any questions about it. You see, with that childlike faith,
we can believe. Well, you think about what our God's asking us to do is to have faith in simple things. But we're Christians. We're the body of Christ. We know what we're supposed to be doing. The simple things. We come to church without making excuses. We serve God, offer the love of Jesus Christ into the community. We forgive. We do those little things. That's what God's asking us to do. And as we reveal our faith or demonstrate our faith in those little things, then God pours bigger things on us so that big things can happen. Good things happen. But we have to have that faith. We have to be willing to sign over the title of our hearts to Him, that Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit, can live in our hearts and to keep us on the course, to drive us in that right direction. And then we can be free from our past and cast away any doubt that we have. We simply have to trust. We have to have faith, and we have to trust. And if we believe this and we do this with our heart, then we will experience a freedom like no other. Revelation 3, verse 20. I remind you to hear these words because it's something that really means a lot to our personal lives and also the lives of others. And this is a concept that's revealed in the widow in 1 Kings this morning. And we use this scripture a lot to talk about salvation. But Revelation 3:20, this is what it means to give ownership of our heart. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him and he with me. Brothers and sisters, you see that he keeps right on knocking through the good and through the bad. The Lord was knocking on that widow's heart. That's why she said yes rather than telling Elijah to get lost. She opened the door. She opened the door so that the Holy Spirit could come in. And by doing that, she said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will trust you. I will obey you. And I will have faith. And through that faith, miracles were revealed. And today, we need to know that there are people that need to be set free. They need to feel hope because they're living a life of hopelessness. And I will tell you now that Jesus is there, is knocking. He is ready to come in. Will you allow yourself to be an instrument of the Lord in the life of someone else, just like Elijah? The Lord had knocked on the widow's heart, and the Lord also sent Elijah. And we see what happens when they come together. Will you allow yourself to be used just like Elijah? Elijah answered the call, submitted, went forth, and he served. And I would ask you, is the Lord calling you into some special place right now to be a messenger of His freedom? We must have faith, and in that faith, truth is revealed. And through that truth, we experience a freedom that is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.